Okay, good evening everybody. Vayera, 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 we are Parashat Vayera.
What does Vayera mean?
Vayera, God shows himself to Avraham Avinu, or he comes to visit him at the third day after his Brit Mila. And there are a lot of issues in our Parasha. We have Akedat Yitzchak in our Parasha. But I want to talk first of all about an interesting point. The power of a tzaddik. What is really the power of a tzaddik? And what is a tzaddik? A tzaddik has to be at a certain level, or do you compare him to those who are around him?
I compare, because I studied this, is Beinoni and Rasha. No, a tzaddik is this that doesn't Yetzer Hara and all the things, the bad things, doesn't affect him.
Okay. We have an interesting discussion between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu. And the discussion is about, can we save Sodom? Or can't we say it? Now, what could be the reason that we can save Sodom? Because of what? Because...
if there are righteous people there.
Ah, tzaddikim.
Tzaddikim.
That's what we call them, tzaddikim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see.
I think I have one.
Yeah.
They weren't Jews.
Sorry?
They weren't Jews yet.
No. A lot wasn't counted
as.
And Perek Yudchet, Pasuk 23. Aaf tispe tzaddik im rasha. Are you going to destroy Sodom and kill a tzaddik with a rasha? What kind of tzaddik do we speak here?
This is how all the bargaining began.
Yes,
Jews.
But what I'm asking is, what kind of tzaddik are we talking? Somebody like the Rav Kanievsky? Somebody like the Rav Steinman? Somebody like the Rav Adi Yosef?
An ordinary person.
Person who is pure.
Pure, what? 100% pure? 90%? 80? 50? 60?
Well, in those days, who knows?
Would he be living in Sodom if he was a righteous person?
We have a problem. We know that Sodom are evil people. That's Do you right. think a tzaddik will live there?
No. It's
unlikely.
Unlikely. Okay. So maybe a tzaddik is depending on where do you live, on the influence of the environment around you. Because let's really speak about it. If somebody grows up in a very orthodox environment, everybody is a tzaddik near him, he's got all the kosher restaurants around him, the food is 100%, he's got synagogue every corner. He's got Beis Midrash here and there. He's got all the facilities to be a tzaddik. Now, let's go to a different place. And there is this guy, lives in a place where nobody is religious. But he wakes up every morning, lays his tefillin, davens alone, because there is nobody else there that's going to her, it hasn't got a minion. And he is driving for hours to buy kosher food.
So he's the true tzaddik.
So who is the tzaddik here?
He is. Ah. He is.
So now we start to understand that the tzaddik is nothing that we cannot even know. Because when you look at Sodom, tzaddik? What tzaddik can you find in Sodom? Nevertheless, there is another important point. We want to save Sodom. What is the idea behind it? If there is a tzaddik. Okay, there is a tzaddik. What is this going to help Sodom? In the long run. What would he do?
He will influence them.
So the idea is that the tzaddik will have an influence on the people. Now, if this tzaddik sits in his house, closes his doors, and has got no connection with the neighbors, a tzaddik like this can save the town?
No.
Why not?
It's
got no connection with the people, so in other words, there is no chance that anything is going to change.
But there is something.
Noah.
Yes.
120 years, he was not inside, outside,
yes.
Because he was building.
So in other words...
He didn't influence...
But he tried. He tried. You see, when we look here, we see an interesting point. The Torah is telling us, אולי יש 50 צדיקים בתוך העיר. Inside the town. Maybe there are 50 צדיקים inside.
Behind doors.
What's the idea בתוך העיר? בתוך העיר means involved in town. They're a part of the town. Not if יש צדיקים בסדום. I don't care about tzaddikim in Sdom. I care if the tzaddik is going to have an influence on the other people, because otherwise, what do I need him for? So from one point, a tzaddik is not always what we think is a tzaddik. Then, a tzaddik cannot live only for himself. He has to have an influence on others. And we see this unbelievable discussion. And there is another interesting point. Because God is saying, im emtza. In other words, maybe now there is not even one tzaddik in stone. But when I will come down, the Shekhinah will come down, maybe the spiritual environment of the Shekhinah coming down will have an influence on people. And they do tshuva. And maybe a few of them will become tzaddikim. So suddenly we understand that Sdom is an evil place, definitely. Because God wants to destroy everything there. And with all those things, God still gives the chance that maybe something is going to change. We all know, unfortunately, that nothing changed. Nevertheless, when Lot is bringing guests into his house, the people of Sdom, all of them, want to take those people and do whatever they want with them. And even after the angels blind them, they still want to find the door in order to go in. And this, of course, was the end of Sdom. But what is the Torah trying to tell us? The Torah is trying to tell us an unbelievable thing. Let's imagine that we would have found, because this argument is finishing with ten. If 10 tzaddikim would have been found in Sdom, Sdom would have been
saved.
Now, what do you think? Let's say, imagine to ourselves that this is the case. And Sdom, at the day that Sdom was supposed to be destroyed, nothing happens. They are saved. What do you think is going to be written in the next day in the papers?
Sin saved.
Nothing. Life will go on. Nobody even will understand that he was being saved because of the tzaddik. The same situation is today. The tzaddikim of the generation, they are the ones who save us. Even if we don't feel it. They have an unbelievable power that we see that even in evil storm, if there was being found a tzaddik, mean comparing to the evil people of storm, In other words, in another place, the Rav Zalman Sorosky brings a story to understand this. One day he was going on a train, and there was this group of people, Jews, but you know, not religious, nothing to do with religion, and they were talking about all the parties they're doing and everything. And then they says, you know, hey, this Yossi is a tzaddik. So why is he a tzaddik? Because on Yom Kippur, when we went to a party, he didn't come. He went to shul. Now he sits there and thinks, about what, this is a tzaddik? Then, a few weeks later, they asked him to check a young man, if he's suitable for marriage for a girl. They want to check who he is. So he went to the yeshiva, and he was asking around. So somebody came to him, I have to tell you something. You know, this is not a tzaddik. You know why? He reads papers. Now, compare this guy from the yeshiva that reads paper, and because that reads paper, and I'm assuring you, he's not reading Yediot Achronot, he's reading Yated Ne'eman, he's reading a religious paper. But in the yeshiva, somebody who, instead of sitting and learning, finds time to read a paper, for the yeshiva, he is a rasha. But take this guy and put him in the train with those villains. It's nothing
don't
to compare.
Call them villains. Don't call them villains. They're not yet religious. Let's put it that way.
In order to understand the idea, we have to call them villains, because otherwise,
at that moment
in time, that's what they are.
Everything is real.
Be'ezrat Hashem, itamu chataim in haaretz. They will change, do tshuva, and everything is going to be okay.
Rebels, not villains.
Rebels. Okay, I'm not, my English, I'm not, it's not my language. My language is Hebrew, not English. Okay.
Yeah. So what's okay.
In Hebrew, chachchachim we call them. In the street language, we call them chachchachim. Chachchachim, Noach Barzelim. No. Whatever it is, their tzaddik, if you take him and put him in the yeshiva, is he going to be even considered one of the group? Mm-hmm. Nothing. In other words, this is exactly what we're talking about. What Avram is talking about is not the tzaddik from the yeshiva. He's talking about the tzaddik of this group of people in the train. In other words, even this tzaddik could save everybody. And this is a big lesson, because as the Rambam says, there is an influence on each one of us of the people around you. The society has got a great influence on people. If you live in a good society, it's going to influence good at you. If you go live in a bad society, you're going to have a bad influence. But if you try and change whatever it is, and at whatever level you are being considered, the Torah is talking about, not me. What are you considered? A tzaddik. In other words, nobody can say, what can I do? I live in a bad place. Okay, so what? Try. God is judging you according to the situation you are in it. He's not judging you according to Avraham Avinu, according to Moshe Rabbeinu, or according to the Rambam. He's judging you according to the place where you are. What did you do for God? Did you try to change? Did you try to do a step on the ladder? If you tried, you're already on the way to be a tzaddik. You are a tzaddik. Consider a tzaddik. In other words, each one of us has unbelievable powers. The problem is that we ourselves don't realize the power of a tzaddik. So one of the big lessons of this argument of Avraham Avinu with God is to teach us the power of a tzaddik. And a tzaddik's got great power. Now this place, though, what was so bad about it? And you know, if you look into the laws and start to understand, today people do the same thing. You know, the place was an unbelievable place. It was
prosperous.
You had all the best things of the world there. A good land, good environment, good air, water, anything you wanted, everything was there. People were rich. Now they were afraid that people will hear and will come, and eventually what would happen is that they will lose their jobs. They will lose, you know, you have a cake, 5 people can enjoy the cake, 10 people, oh, okay. But if 100 people want the same cake, what's going to be left? Nothing. So they thought to themselves, 1 minute, we have to stop this. We want to keep our life at a certain level. And if we want to do this, we have to prevent from people all around to come into our town. Because if everybody will come and join us, at the end of the day, we have a problem. So they put a law on, no achnasat orchim, no visitors.
Complete opposite to Abraham.
Exactly. And...
Well, like Trump.
And... It's not funny, because really, if you think about it, that's exactly what some of us are doing today also. All those laws against people coming into a country or not. But sometimes it's
necessary.
I'm not saying not, but I'm saying that we have to be careful to understand and realize that this is how it started in Sodom. So then they put another law. And another law. And if a poor guy came into town, you know what was happening? Everybody used to give him charity. Everybody. They gave him. But when he went to the makolet to buy food,
wouldn't
sell it. So he would go around town. Nobody would take him in. No hotel would give him a room. No supermarket will sell him food. And he had a lot of money in his pocket. What does the money help if you can't buy anything with it? And in the end, what happened? He died. So when he died, all the tzaddikim was gone, went out and called in the loudspeakers, this and this poor guy died. Everybody is invited to give him the, what do you call it, the last honor or whatever.
That's right.
So everybody came. And you had the body, and near the body you had all the money that they gave him. And each one had a sign on the money, and they took back the money they gave the Russian. This is the justice of Sodom. But everything was in law. That's the reason that God destroyed Sodom. You can be evil. You can do bad things. But when you put on a law that makes evil right, that's it. You know, if you know you're wrong, you can fix it. But if you think you're right, can you fix it?
No.
So who was the tzaddik of Sodom? You know, they had this special bed. If somebody short came, they stretched him. If somebody long came, they cut him. In order that they were, the achnasat orchim they did. The bed, unfortunately, is not exactly the size for the guy, so they adjust the guy to the bed. So if they found somebody who is at the size of the bed, what would they do? They will try and find a reason to do something, and then the tzaddik of Sodom will say, 1 minute, he is the same size, let's leave him alone. That's the tzaddik of Sodom. Okay, talking about Sodom is very nice. We're learning about that sometimes you can put evil as a law that looks from outside. That's the way to live. You go according to the law. And that's exactly what Avraham Avinu is telling Avimelech. Avimelech, and by the way, they had good laws. No problem. But Avimelech is telling him, why did you tell me that she's your sister? Why didn't you tell me she's your wife? Why did you lie to me? I almost did something very, very wrong. So what Avraham was answering? Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh ve'araguni al dvar ishti. You have everything. You have good laws. You have good manners. You have school. You have everything. Unbelievable. But if there is no fear of God, you have nothing. Because the minute that you will want something, all the laws are cancelled. Does it remind you something?
Yeah, Germany.
Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
The most developed society cultural. In the whole world.
Cultural.
Very cultured, very polite. And suddenly, they became more evil than an animal. Why? רק אין יראת אלוקים במקום הזה והרגוני על דבר אשתי. What is יראת אלוקים? What is the fear of God? Some people think the fear of God is to be afraid of God. That's not the fear of God. Fear of God is to know who God is. And when you know who God is, the fear is that He's not going to be with you. He's going to leave you. Why? Because understanding how great God is, you have to love God. You want to show your appreciation. You want to do the mitzvahs. Why? Because you understand how good God is and how great He is. So in other words, that's what we call Yir'at HaRomemut. To understand who God is. And Akedat Yitzchak is one of the... Let's say it's a point that it's very hard to understand. How can God ask a father... Really, think about it. What's the idea behind? How can God ask a father to sacrifice his son? Okay, you say it's a trial. Okay, but even so, how do you test a guy with a thing like this? Asking him to kill his son?
Isn't that what they were doing at that time? They were offering...
And he was talking all the time against it. So in other words, Avraham Avinu right now is standing in front of a point. All his life, he was spreading the Torah and telling everybody, God is merciful. You should stop with the sacrificing human beings, children. This is unforbidden. And God is justice. And suddenly, after all those years, he goes himself to sacrifice his son. What would people say? What would people do? What would happen to everything he built for years? What would happen to all the believers that went after it? What do you think would happen? They all will leave. But this is Avram talking about chesed, talking about love, and he's going to slaughter his child, his son? And what is Avram Avinu doing? He's doing it. He's going to do it. What's the idea behind it? You see, Avraham Avinu is Amud HaChesed. Avraham Avinu is love. Chesed, love. Yitzchak is Yira, is fear. Now, sometimes in life we think it's enough to love somebody. What was the greatness of Avraham Avinu? In the last Haftarah we said, Avraham o Avi. I think he's the only one in the whole Bible that is called like this. Avraham o Avi. Avram, who loves me. My lover, if you want to say. In other words, Avram got to a level of love that nobody else got. And this is, by the way, the reason that he knew what God wants from him. God doesn't have to tell him anything. He's got, go from your land to the land I'm going to show you. Is he showing it to him? He's going by himself. He says, God, go to one of the mountains and sacrifice your son. Is he telling him exactly what mountain it is? No, he finds it by himself. They say that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah. How can he keep the whole Torah if he didn't get it? But what is the Torah? What's the Torah all about? What God wants us to do. If you love somebody, really love him, you feel him. And if you feel him, you know what he wants. It's like parents with a child. You love your child, sometimes the child without speaking, you know what he wants. It's like twins feeling the same thing, even if sometimes they are far away from each other. And they did a lot of research on those things. In other words, if the connection is a real deep connection, you can feel the other side. In other words, Avraham Avinu got to a level that he feels God. No, okay, that's the ultimate thing. But if you want to pass this message to the next generation, if you want to build a nation, it's not enough. From the other side, let's look at Yitzhak. Yitzhak is fear. Fear of God. Now, if you fear God, if you understand who God is, of course you're going to do everything God wants. You understand the greatness of God? Wouldn't you do what He wants you to do? So, from this point of view, fear of God is enough. But God wants both. God wants love and fear. Why? Because they have to go together. Because when you love somebody and he loves you, sometimes you allow yourself to do things that you wouldn't allow yourself with a different person. From the other side, if you love only because of fear, it can never be a connection of love. Okay, I know you're great, you're chesed, you think, but we need both. What happened on Akedat Yitzchak is that suddenly Avraham Avinu realizes that the only way to be perfect, in order to get to the highest level, is when he takes the fear of God from Yitzchak. And Yitzchak takes the love of God from Avraham. When you combine those two things, you get to the highest level you can. And that is when Yaakov Avinu comes to the world. And from Yaakov Avinu, we come. Now, what's happening here? Yitzchak got married only after Akedat Yitzchak. He was already 37 years old. Why didn't he get married yet? Because he was not yet ready. When was he ready? After he was so elevated by this episode of the Akedah. Because you have to understand what's happening here. What's happening here is an unbelievable thing. If you look at the Akedah, we see a few interesting points. First of all, Avraham Avinu goes to the Akedah, takes Yitzchak, puts him on the altar, then he takes his hand
with a knife,
and the angel comes and says, "Stop! Don't touch him." Okay? What is Avraham Avinu doing? He looks for something else. He says, "I am already prepared to sacrifice my son. I am looking for a substitute." And he finds this ayil. Ayil, how do you say? Deer?
Ram.
A ram. He finds this ram.
What is?
Ram.
And he sacrifices the ram. And then, look what's written. And this is an unbelievable point that people don't see it even. Fortunately, this is a little small for me. Okay. This is the beginning of Akedat Yitzchak. We go through it and we see a few interesting points. And then we get to the point I'm talking about. ויהי אחר הדברים האלה, והאלוקים נישא את אברהם. After those things, God tried Avram. How did he try? ויאמר אליו, אברהם, ויאמר הנני. אומר, קח נא, I want you to take your son, your only son, which you love, יצחק, and go, לך לך אל ארץ המוריה, ועלהו שם לעולה, על אחד הערים אשר אומר אליך. Sacrifice him on one of the mountains that I'm giving you, that I'm going to tell you. וישכם אברהם בבוקר, and Avraham Avinu is getting early in the morning up to do what God commanded him to do. And by the way, as Rashi says, why didn't he tell him, take Yitzchak? Why didn't he tell him, take your son? Then he says, your only son. And then he says, the one you love. And only then he says, Yitzchak. Because God is telling Avraham Avinu, take your son. He says, I've got two sons. Yeah. Your only son. Each one of us is only to his mother. One is from Hagar, the other one is from Sarah. Says, the one you love. Says, I love both of them. Yitzchak. Okay, God doesn't know this. What is this game? This is 2 points. One point is to understand that Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak are connected, and it goes through Yitzchak and not through Ishmael. Then, God wanted to reward him. So, you know, when you say, it's levels. First of all, take your son. Okay, I have 2 sons. Now we go nearer. The only son. He says, only? Each one of them is the only son to his mother. Mm-hmm. Another step. He says, the one you love. Now, everything is being built inside. Think about it. Talking about his son, then his only son, then the one you love. Now, this trial is getting harder and harder.